It's kind of hard to add to all of that after so many beautiful scripture readings and beautiful hymns that really encapsulate all of these glorious truths about this celebration. But I will seek to add a little bit this evening, and I'm going to direct your attention to one particular passage as we celebrate this evening. It's the words of Jesus found in John 8, verse 12. And if you want to look at those words, you'll find them in the bulletin, so you're welcome to look at that. I put that right at the top for you. And I'm going to read that for you now. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So this saying of Jesus in the Gospel of John is one of the many audacious claims, and it seems audacious because of its bigness, when he says, "I am the light of the world." And in the Gospel of John, you'll find many of these "I am" sayings where he says, "I am this, I am that," and they are big, bold claims. You may remember some of those claims where he says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the good shepherd." But here he says, "I am the light of the world." It's a big claim because the world would see these statements of Jesus and want to say, "Well, Jesus, you should probably instead say, you are one of the lights of the world. You are perhaps one of the sources of wisdom and truth in this world." And of course, there are many who respect Jesus as a great teacher, as one who can be added to the rest of the great teachers of the past. Add him to Homer, add him to Virgil, add him to Buddha. We have all of these lights that come. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? He says, "I am the light of the world." And that's not the only claim he makes in the Gospel of John. In fact, in John 14, he once again says this to his disciples. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The world would look at this and be offended and say, "What arrogance, what audacity to say that no one can be in relationship with God the Father except through you? Who is this man?" These are big claims that Jesus makes, and so I want to explore briefly with you this claim, this statement that Jesus makes in John 8, verse 12. "I am the light of the world." And as I looked into the theme of light in Scripture, I just typed in light into my digital concordance to see, like, how many passages come up here? And there are hundreds of them. I didn't know which ones to pick necessarily. There's so many that speak about the light of Christ, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I want to point your attention to just two of those here. First is the one found in Isaiah 49, verse 6. This is the prophet Isaiah writing about 700 BC, 700 years before the birth of Christ. And he speaks about the servant of God who was to come, and what that servant would do. Isaiah 49, verse 6 says, "Indeed, he," that is the Lord, "says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And here the prophet Isaiah is speaking about how he's going to restore Israel. Israel had rebelled against him so many times, but he says, "I'm going to bring back more than Israel. I'm going to bring the world to myself. I am going to send my servant as a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the uttermost parts of the earth." And that prophecy came to pass when we see the birth of Christ. Shortly after the birth of Christ in Luke 2, we have recorded this account of an old man, a very old man, who came into the temple after Jesus was born, and this man saw the light of the Gentiles. this man saw the light of the world. Here's what it says in Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. There it was. What Isaiah had said 700 years before was held in the arms of this man Simeon, the salvation of God, sent to be a light to the world. Now, when we say Jesus is a light, what do we mean? In what way does he bring light to this world? Now, there's many ways that he brings light. First of all, he brings light to this dark, sin-rent world by showing us that he is the way of life. He shows us that we cannot save ourselves. He is the only one who can redeem us from this wretched condition. Jesus is the light of the world through his death on the cross, where he satisfied for the sins of his people and calls all men to himself. He is the light of the world through his resurrection. In his resurrection, he conquers death, that dark enemy of ours that dogs us all of our days. We do not have to fear if we are in Christ. He came to deliver those who lived in the fear of death. Jesus is the light of the world by sending forth his Spirit, and his Spirit goes throughout all the world and calls his sheep unto himself. And he tells us that his sheep hear his voice, and then they follow him. They follow him out of darkness, and they walk in his light unto eternal life. Now, history tells us that what Jesus says when he says, I am the light of the world, has indeed happened. It has happened in history. When you look back to the first century, we look at the early church recorded in Acts, and how many people did you have after the resurrection and ascension of Christ? 120 people. It's not very many. It's not a large group. It's not all over the world. All waiting for that Spirit to descend on the day of Pentecost. But it did not stay at 120. In fact, there's more than 120 in this room. But in fact, this light has spread to all of the world. And the numbers are really astounding. The Pew Research Center, which is a very well-respected source of statistics, tells us that as of 2010, about 9 years ago, almost 10, Christianity was by far the world's largest religion with an estimated 2.2 billion adherents. Nearly a third of the entire earth professes the name of Jesus Christ. From 120 to 2.2 billion, that light has spread all over the earth. Now, the pages of history are filled with the glorious triumphs of this light coming and dispelling darkness. We can't tell you all the stories. There's so many of them. They'd fill volumes upon volumes. But I want to recount to you one story of where the light of Christ shined in a dark land. And it's amazing the way in which Jesus brings his light. It doesn't seem very impressive to the world. He just sends men and women of faith to share the good news. And that light spreads and spreads and spreads. And I want to tell you one recent story just from the last couple years in the land of Liberia in West Africa. There in northern Liberia is a small village of a couple hundred people called Konya. And in Konya, there is a pastor named Dennis. Pastor Dennis faithfully shepherds the flock there, and there are a number of Christians in the village of Konya. And in that village, for many centuries, there had been practiced devil worship. That's what they called it. They worshiped the devil and his demons. This is the case in many of these African villages. throughout Africa, but it's increasingly not the case. There in Konya, right outside the village, exists a cluster of trees known as the Devil's Forest. In that dark place, the people of that village, known as the Loma people, would go and they would go and learn curses and offer sacrifices to the demons. And you can imagine all the sort of darkness that resulted from that demon worship. But as Pastor Dennis and the other Christians spread the gospel to their neighbors, there are not very many people going to that forest anymore in the village of Konya. They have gone from planting 7 churches in the surrounding villages to 62 churches in about 3 years. The light of Christ is spreading rapidly in Liberia and in the surrounding nations. And Pastor Dennis tells a story about a particular stronghold that they didn't think Christ could redeem. They thought, there's no way this could work. There's no way we can take the stronghold of Satan. And it was this village that sat on a mountaintop in northern Liberia called Malawu. And on that mountaintop, it was really the epicenter of demon worship in that land. The town was founded by a witch, and there animal and sometimes perhaps human sacrifices were offered on the altar atop that mountain. Past presidents of Liberia would go to this mountain to be able to curse their political opponents. This is where the worship of Satan was the strongest in this land. It was the stronghold of strongholds. How could they break through? How could they bring the good news of the light of Christ to these people? But we remember the words of Psalm 107, that the Lord has the power to break the gates of bronze and the bars of iron in two. That's what he can do, and that's what Jesus has done over and over again. One day, a man from Malawu came down from the mountain, and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he received it. The Lord opened his heart to receive that word, and his life was transformed. And that man from the village of Malawu joined Pastor Dennis and the other Christians, and they began to pray. They said, we cannot go up that mountain until we have prayed and we have fasted for some time. They prayed and fasted for 1 year before they went up that mountain. And after a year of preparation, even though many had warned them, they said, you cannot go up that mountain. Something terrible will happen to you. You can't go. They said, we're going to go. We've prepared and we're going to entrust our lives to the Lord. We will take the good news to the mountaintop of Malawu. And so they went up the mountaintop, and as they set foot in the village, the Lord had already done the work. He had already softened the hearts of those people. And the elders of the city gathered to them and said, our hearts and hands are open to you, even if you want to build a church here. The other villagers danced with joy upon their arrival. They didn't even do anything. Now, instead of a sacrificial altar devoted to the worship of Satan on the mountaintop of Malawu, there is a church standing there, not far from where the altar once was. Now, instead of malice and cursing, instead of death and destruction, there is love, there is joy, there is laughter among the villagers. The sign of Christ's kingdom, the sign of Christ's light has come. There is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus has brought his light to that mountaintop, which once had no light. Just as Isaiah said, the light of Christ was going to come to the ends of the earth, even to a far-flung village on a mountaintop that nobody would have gone to. Christ went there and took his light. Now, if we turn the spotlight back upon ourselves, we come from West Africa back to here. There are many in this room that can testify of the very same reality that happened on the mountaintop of Malawu. The light of Jesus Christ has shone in our hearts. He has set us free. He has dispelled the darkness, and he has given us eyes to see that were once blind. That heart that was once dedicated to the service of the God of this world, that heart that was in love with sin, that heart that wanted to remain in this state of sin, is transformed when the light of Christ comes. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 describes the followers of Christ. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says that it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us praise the name of Jesus Christ for bringing light to us who also sat in darkness, just as those people in Liberia sat in darkness. Now, the next part of the passage in John 8, 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," but then he says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Here he calls us to follow him. And following here means to believe in him and to walk with him. He is the light, and we can't get through this dark world without following him. Just as somebody with a flashlight in a cave turns the light on, who do you follow? But you follow that source of light. And so when we put our trust in him and when we walk with him, we no longer walk in this state of darkness. We have light, we can see, and we know where to go. Now, when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," I noted earlier that that is an absolute claim, that he is the light. Why is it then that people do not look to him? Now, you would think it would be rather silly if someone was to boycott the sun, right? This source of light that we all depend upon. There's nobody, as far as I know, that is boycotting the sun. There's nobody that is anti-sun. The sun is very important. It is the light for this world. Jesus is the light of this world, spiritually speaking. He is the only source of light, and yet people do not come to him. Why is that the case? Jesus told us why in John 3 when he said that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And so why have some not embraced the light of Christ? It is because they love the darkness still. But the good news is that Jesus is coming to dispel that. And the mission is not over. He's still extending it, even now. That light is shining brighter and brighter. And many more are coming out of darkness every day. It breaks our hearts when we see people in love with sin. Sin that enslaves them, sin that brings God's wrath, sin that separates them eternally from God, that breaks our hearts. But then when we see the light of Christ, we rejoice because we see the power of that light to dispel the darkness. Anyone who comes to him by faith, turning away from their sins in repentance and putting their trust wholly in him, whoever follows him will not walk in darkness anymore. They will have the light of life. And that is our desire for this community here in Elizabeth. We stand here today desiring that the light of Christ shine upon this land and that we see more of the kingdom of Christ, of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit manifested. Let's pray for that now. Oh, Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for sending us your Son. Your word says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And this evening, we give thanks to you for the ultimate gift, the greatest gift you could give, your only Son, so that we would not be in darkness anymore. We give thanks that for all who have put their trust in Christ, the darkness of spiritual blindness and ignorance is banished, bondage to sin is broken. Thank you that in him we have redemption from our sins. We do not have to be in that state of curse any longer. And Father, I ask that you would send your Spirit now to awaken those who are in darkness in this room and in our town to see the light of Christ. Break through the spiritual blindness and reveal the light of the world to them. Just like that man who came down from Malawi, we know that you can bring light to those in darkness. Be merciful to our land. Bring the light of Christ. We desire to see the forces of spiritual darkness destroyed, Satan bound, sinners freed, and Christ glorified. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.